Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. My name is Trey Farrow. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today, only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
Another episode of Holla Chat. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Bobby. Today we are continuing our lore discussion. So last week we started doing a lore recap with the foolish hope that a comeback would be soon announced. Here we are a week later. No comeback in sight. So for context, today is October 20th. No comeback announcement. Still.
We should have started like a comeback watch 2024. Just like counting down.
Should have done that instead of bingo. It's been this many days without a comeback announcement. So we're going to continue. So we did all of the Fever Diaries last week and I haven't listened to it.
So who knows what we got right and what we got wrong.
I feel like I know for sure that we did a bad job because I'm already thinking like, well, I know that here's this fact that I'm about to discuss that I know we didn't talk about last week. Mm-hmm. So that's great. That's a great time. Should we start there? Should we start by rectifying our mistakes?
We should start with, I made a mistake on... two episodes ago, Halazia was not on the Europe set list.
Oh.
One of our commenters let me know that was incorrect. So my official retraction, I'll just put that right up front. Halazia was not on the Europe set list last... I think Halazia came out before the Europe show, and then people thought it would be on the set list, but then they didn't change the set list.
So but they did put... Halazia was on the
South America. Yes.
And for Asia?
And for Asia, yes. It just wasn't on Europe. And so I had said that it was on Europe, and it wasn't. And so I said that they would take Halazia off to put whatever this new... maybe new song that
new
we
song?
Might get. Maybe, you know, I had said they should take Halazia off and put this new song on, but they shouldn't take Halazia off because they should perform Halazia everywhere. The whole world deserves to see Halazia.
On the set list forever, like Wave.
Yeah, that would be good too. They should never take it off, even if you've already seen it. So I'll make my official retraction about that. Mm. And then we can talk about all the ways we were wrong about their lore.
I don't think that we were wrong. I think that we just left things out. So for instance, I'll just jump right in with the thing that I know we left out. I do not believe that we mentioned, and this is like a major plot point too. Mm-hmm. I don't think that we mentioned that when Yosong was captured by the Android Guardians, he watches them basically murder the Grimes siblings.
Mm.
Like, they both get their souls sucked out. Mm-hmm. And I don't think we talked about that. And that's, like, a big deal. So, I also don't know if we mentioned that Left Eye's hand gets chopped off.
Mm.
I don't think we mentioned that either. So...
well, we were focused on, you know, themes.
Who knows?
Instead of
we don't
plot.
Know what we were focused on. That was the problem. We're not focused. It's probably the issue.
So you can tell a difference between like the World and the Fever Diaries when you're reading them, because the World Diaries seem like much more plot oriented and much more specific. Mm-hmm. So they really are like spelling out everything that happens, and there's not a lot of reading between the lines like you have to do in Fever. Mm-mm. And also they're not from boy perspective. So in Fever, Yosong's got a page, Wooyoung's got a page, whereas in World it's just like here's 8 pages of story, and none of them are assigned to specific boys.
And I did, I made a note of that. And also that the way that there are 8 chapters in the world still, but that some of them are just really arbitrary. Like there's really no need for there to be a chapter break where they put chapters. So it's just like, well, they're just keeping the same format, the same structure, even though they don't really need it the way that they've done the World Diaries for.
A thing that was really strange to me, I think it was in the Crazy Form one, is when they have like a chapter break. And then, like, a couple of lines later, they just have, like, a scene break. And it's like, well, why didn't you just put your chapter break there?
Who can fathom the mind of the intern?
I feel very up on Outlaw and Crazy Form's diaries because I just read them right before this. But I couldn't find my copy of Movement. So take it away, Bobby.
Here we go. So when we start off, the thing that is so interesting to me, the way that the diaries are structured, is that it reminds me of, so in the books themselves too, but in the movies, that at the end of Harry Potter 4, The Goblet of Fire, which is my personal favorite, everybody dislikes that one, and I love The Goblet of Fire. I'm like, this whole like competition, it's so exciting, you got all these new characters and these different schools. I'm like, I love this. And so many people that I've talked to are like, I hate The Goblet of Fire.
My favorite moment of any Harry Potter movie, and you know, even the books, is when like Ron is trying on his dress robes. Like, I have a Christmas ornament of Ron's dress robes. I have two Funko Pops. One is when he's, like, in the disheveled Christmas robes. And then the one is, like, when he's about to go out. It really is, like, my favorite moment of the whole series is when he is wearing those dress robes. I don't know. It just really hits for me.
But anyway, so dress robes aside, it's so interesting to me how there is this very clear distinction between the first half of the Harry story and the second half when you get Cedric Diggory's death. Like, that's the first death that we see happen on screen. And it's like, oh, shit. Like, it's about to get dark. And we have that same moment at the end of Fever. They don't specify that the Grimes siblings are dead. They just, like, it's unclear. Like, okay, are they just zombies now? Like, are they, their souls are just gone? Left Eye, you know, he loses an arm, I think. It's either an arm or a hand, but he loses a limb. But he's not dead. So it's still very, like, PG at the end of the Fever Diaries. Then you start with the World Diaries, and it starts off, World Diaries, World Part 1 is very chill. It's really just establishing the setting. We are learning that ATs has been working with the Black Pirates and the extent of them, how much they've been working with them. We learn more about the world itself. We learn, Left Eye kind of tells us about what the goal of the Black Pirates is, and it's really interesting because Hong Jun says in the first diary that they are in the first World Diary. He talks about how the thing that they really need to figure out is where Z is. Like, that's, they cannot find him. They don't know where he is. And that's like their number one goal, but they don't know what to do about that yet. So for now, they're just going to focus on what they can do. And they talk about how, like, the opening scene, we see Z is doing, like, his normal, like, daily announcement sort of thing is what it sounds like. We learn that the people, the thing that is controlling them is this chip that has been implanted below their ear, like, behind their ears with the little yellow light that we see. We don't see it until Crazy Form, but, oh, no, 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 we do. We see it in the previews, but we, ATs is wearing them in the thing for Crazy Form. And that was the very shocking thing. But, or no, they wear it for Bouncy because they have it with the Prestige uniforms. In one of the teasers for Bouncy, they had the little ATs was wearing them.
I think that's right. I think we have it in Bouncy, but we see the kids wearing it in when they kind of are like breaking into Prestige for
Gorilla. Well, they're not breaking into Prestige. We just see them in Prestige getting their daily indoctrination.
But we see someone trying to, like, take over the screen.
Yes.
And it turns, like, rainbow colors is how I described it.
It's, so anyway, so in, so we learn about the people with the blinking yellow lights, and those little devices are the things that are controlling their emotions. And Mingy shows up in front of one of these people and he gives one of them this little device that Left Eye has created. This device breaks the signal and breaks that device so that now they are free to feel all of their emotions. Mm-hmm. And it is really interesting how when this happens, it's described as being fully terrifying when the people like enter the realm of emotions and they're like, what? Mingy is all for just forcing people to do it. Like, because the way they do it is they don't do it themselves. They give the device to the people and they tell them how to use it. And like, if you want to, you can do it. If you don't, then that's your choice. Mingy's like, nah, man, we gotta just force people. Like, we just need to force them, get them in the Black Link. The Black Link is sort of like the Black Pirates network.
Yeah.
And Mingy's all for, let's just get it done. Like, what are we doing? And Left Eye is like, no, because if we force it on them, then we're no better than Z, telling them that our way is better than their way. We are just acting on our own beliefs, but we're not saying that this is better. We're saying that, you know, everybody gets to make their own choice. One of the problems that they are facing is that, you know, even though they do have the Chromer and they can move spatially, so they can, you know, move from place to place very quickly, is that they're unable to change enough people at once, because it's like as soon as they get somebody like brought over to their side, the Android Guardians are able to track them down and take them off to the disposal site. So they're having problems. They're like, we need to do something big. We need like a big movement instead of just these little like small attacks, I guess.
Yeah.
So they are in the middle of discussing this when a little boy shows up at their bunker, which is supposed to be hidden. But the little boy shows up and he says that he's like outside of the bunker. And this is actually a little bit confusing based on something that we learn in the third diary. But the little boy shows up. He says, I need you to help me. They're going to kill my brother. We find out that his brother is a student at Prestige Academy. We learn that ATs is actually planning, like, that's their next heist. They're going to go to Prestige Academy, and that's where they're going to stage this big grand performance to be able to affect as many people as possible all at once. And so they're like, oh, well, that we were already going there anyways. And that's basically where World Diary Part 1 drops off. A couple things of note is that it's interesting that the setting has changed. We're now in the city. Like, we're in the thick of things now, so we're getting a lot more glimpses as to what the city is like. And it's very clean and it's very like well organized.
There is a movie that has like a very similar setting to this, and I can't remember what it is. I think Christian Bale is in it.
Oh my word, we've talked about this movie 700 times. It's Elysium.
No. That's the one with Matt Damon in it. This is a different one.
Oh, this is the one where I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
We've talked about it and I refuse to watch it because they murder the puppies.
They murder a puppy, which is sad. I agree. But I do think, like, if you're interested in the lore, I think this is a very, very good visual representation of what the city might look like, because the vibes are so close. When I was watching it, I was like, maybe they just based the city off of this city. And, like, the way they fight, even the comms, like, the comm emotion controller thing, the vibe that they show of the Prestige Academy, it looks very much like this movie. The Prestige, is it called the Prestige?
It's not called the Prestige. That's the one about the magic.
That also has Christian Bale in it.
It does also have Christian Bale in it, though. I'm looking
Christian Bale kick at one point.
I know exactly what you are talking about, because we've talked about this before, and I know that you talked about, you watched it. Equilibrium.
Strong recommend for the vibes of World Part 1. Like, I think it's really on target.
Yeah, but trigger warning for people who are sensitive about animal cruelty and abuse, like me.
It is one scene. They do kill a dog. I don't think it shows it. It's more doesn't like matter. Implied. I know. So, yeah, the trigger warning for that. My husband also doesn't want to watch it for that reason. But, you know, if you can move past that, it's very good.
some of us can't. And I am one of those people, so.
Okay, so I also had another question. I know you had more that you wanted to say about this, but is this the diary where we get Z's, like, morning speech that was also played in the concert?
Yes.
I feel like we should read that morning speech.
Do you remember, I know you told me, because it was at one of the concerts for Break
the Wall. Yes, no, it's all I ever think about. So we're going to read this speech, and then I'm going to tell that story, and we're going to explain what this speech actually means.
This speech speech in the diary is different from the speech at the concert.
Okay.
It's the same vibes, but it is not this exact same thing. But the speech in the diary is a perfect world. Being perfect, our world is safe. A small error is a crack, and a crack leads to pain. Pain. Pain is an unnecessary emotion and a negative element in life. We want to protect you all. A world without cracks is always beautiful. You, living your life in your position, are the world itself. Do not doubt yourself. You are always right. We are right because you are right. Keep that in mind. The government works for you. The government is committed to you. All of this is for you.
So there, especially that last part, the you are always right, the world is beautiful, you're beautiful, whatever, like that
we part. Are right because you are right.
Yes, that was, that part specifically was played before Break the Wall concert. And there was like, the vibe was the same, but some of the words are changed. I think it was shortened a little bit, made it more thematic. But this speech was playing before the concert starts, and this girl behind me, like, hears that part about you're right, and we're right because you're right.
And all,
like,
of this is for you.
All of this is for you. She goes,
what are you doing?
And I was like, what? No. No, this is bad. This is creepy. But I think that's like a huge red flag.
Well, someone who has not interacted with the Lord at all ever, probably.
But I think it's a red flag.
Which is also a red flag, by the way.
I think it's a red flag for humanity that people would think that that type of manipulative speech is sweet.
Yeah.
Because that's clearly manipulation. I'm right because you're right. And you chose me.
Yeah.
So we're all in the circle of rightness together.
It's very gaslighty.
It's so gaslighty. And I, you know, this isn't our episode about parasocial relationships and toxic feelings towards idols and what happened with Sung-hoon's rise and, like, you know, this isn't our episode about that, but I do think it's worth asking why someone would hear something like, all of this is for you, I'm right because you're right, and think, oh, wow, that's really special. That means I'm special, and they think I'm special. So I think it's worth examining, and it goes back to what I was saying last week, that, like, the themes that are on display in these books and what they mean for the world and, like, what they mean for us as readers are more universal than just, like, this is happening in a fun dystopian world. Okay, that was all I had to say. Now, what did you...
Well, now I don't remember.
You're welcome.
One thing, the World Part 1 diary is just a warm-up.
Yeah.
Like, you haven't even touched the surface of the insanity that is about to ensue in the next two diaries. But it definitely is an indication that we've got a genre switch up. I wonder if we have a different, not a different intern, because the intern is forever, but I wonder if we have a different writer between the first diary and the second diary, because the first diary still feels very familiar stylistically to what we got in the Fever Diaries. Once we get into the second and third diaries, this is a totally different style, different vibes, different levels of detail.
Yeah. I mean, that's like the biggest takeaway when you're reading them back to back, is that, like, oh, like, this is much more plot heavy. Like, that's how, like, they're dense.
They are very plot dense. For sure.
You can read what's happening in the Fever Diaries very quickly and understand what's happening, and you don't have to, like, you know, it would take like 3 or 4 minutes to read a single Fever Diary. It would take like 10 to 15 to read a single The World Diary all the way through. Like, it takes longer to read. It's much denser. And even as you're reading it, it can feel more confusing because a lot of things are happening at once, and they're going into extreme detail about these, like, fight scenes and, like, these social interactions and, like, what's at play during these social interactions. And it is much harder to follow. Like, it feels like one of those things like, oh, God, I got to take notes. I've got to, like, write down what's happening so I can really break it down.
I was reading today and I was like, I got to write this down because I'm not following. Like, even I've read these quite a few times.
Yes.
And and we haven't done Bible studies on them, so I haven't like studied each one in depth, but I have read
which
them
I do think is
times.
A problem. Like, I'm much more familiar with the Fever series because we've done those Bible studies.
But even today, when we were just before we started recording and we were rereading them, I kept running into things and I was like, wait, what? Who is this? What just happened? Where Sangwa just appeared out of nowhere? What's going on? And then it's because I just missed a tiny detail in a previous like chapter, and I had to go back and read them.
If you skip a sentence,
you've missed like a whole
you've
thing.
Lost everything.
No, you're God.
You know, because I am a person, and most people. I think most people who read a lot skim are pretty, you know, we skim and we can kind of pick up the things just by reading a couple of words in the sentences and we don't have to dedicate a lot of time to it, especially if we're not like trying to study it and we're just trying to refresh quickly. So if you're like skimming through this diary, you're not going to see it. You're not going to see it. You're just like, you're going to miss so much because if you skip over a sentence, you've missed something important. So when I say that it's dense, I mean it like that. Because there are books that are dense and hard to read, but like all of it's because they've got so much like extra stuff in it, you know, unnecessary details. And you're like having to wade through all of this description. That is not what's happening. This is all like very relevant. If you miss a word, then you do not know what's happening.
Right.
Very suddenly. So I guess let's get into Bouncy 2.
All right.
I don't know why I called it Bouncy 2.
World Part 2, Episode Bouncy.
There it is.
So Part 2 opens up. We are in Prestige or at Prestige Academy. Well, we're not there yet. They're talking about Prestige Academy. We pick up right where we left off at the World Part 1, where the little boy has come to the bunker and he is talking to the talking to ATs about saving his brother. His problem is that his brother, who is 40, by the way, I can't get over this. I know everybody lives to 200, so like I'm assuming it means everybody is aging more slowly. So 40 is the new 20. Basically. So his brother is essentially about to graduate, but this little boy believes that his brother is not going to pass the final exam and that he's going to end up being killed. So we also get a little bit of background about how the educational system works. We know that you have to go to school for 40 years, that there are five different like classes or schools within the schools where you are basically determined. It's determined what your career path is going to be. Which interestingly reminds me of the babies, Zyker's latest comeback, where they had that opening video about choices and your choices being predetermined for you. So there
are
five.
Very similar to The Giver, too.
Yeah.
Which we've referenced a couple
Clearly,
times.
The intern is a fan of The Giver.
Right.
So there are five classes. The first class is going to work in the government. Second class are going to become guardians, which brings us to a thing that we didn't discuss from the first diary, is that there are two different types of guardians. Actually, there are three different types of guardians. There's one type that are the android guardians, and those are the ones that are chasing ATs searching for the Chromer.
Yes.
The second type of guardians are just humans who have been built to be guardians.
Right.
Sort of like stormtroopers.
Yes.
The third types of guardians are guardians that specifically only guard Z, but we'll get to them. They'll come in a little bit later. Anyway, so there's a whole class of people who are being raised to be guardians. Class three are part of the educational systems. They're basically going to become teachers. They're going to learn how to identify and sort people into their groups and teach them. Class four are people who are basically the tech people. They're going to be in charge of the harvesting of the energy and creating new technology for that. And then your class fives are your workers, your worker bees, basically. They are, so Prestige is one of like the top academies in Strickland, and this is where this little boy's brother is, and the little boy wants ATs to go in there and get him and save him so that he doesn't fail the exam.
Yep.
So that's where we are.
The thing about the World Diaries to me is that it is, on the surface, it doesn't seem like there's as much to analyze because it's telling you everything so specifically. So, you know, we're introduced to the idea that they're about to break into Prestige. Everyone's down with that. And then they just go start doing that. And we see them go. But this is where we meet Thunder, which is exciting.
Yes. We don't really learn much about them until the next diary, but we do get to meet them.
The Thunder merch is something that KQ has sold for a while. Mm-hmm. And
like, before we even knew Thunder was like a thing, we always thought it was just Gambayaja like a thunder. Like, that's where it's from, obviously.
Interesting. This is probably interesting to no one except me, but I'm going to share it. So I order a lot of merch from KQ. The Thunder merch is sold on KQ website exclusively. It is not on Tok Tok. But interestingly to me, it is not sold as 80s merch. It is sold as KQ merch. So if you're on the website, you can click on Psychers, you can click 80s, or you can click KQ. To buy the Thunder merch, you have to click KQ. It is not, it is not 80s merch.
Okay, so listen, I know this is insane. I know this is insane, but
okay.
I see no reason why the various KQ artists, why their lore can't be in the same universe.
Yeah.
Because, well, we'll talk about it. We'll talk when we get there. We'll talk when we get there. So we're put a pin in that. Everybody put a pin. Put a pin in Bobby's insane theory. Okay? Just stick a pin in it. We're going to circle back.
And if you don't believe me, you can go to the KQ website and look at the Thunder merch. Figure out where it's sold.
So they create this plan. It's interesting that they just do it. They don't really talk about doing it. They just start doing it. So Mingi and Wooyoung disguise themselves as guards that work at Prestige Academy. So this must have taken like a ton of time to get all of these ducks in a row.
Yeah. This is what's interesting. We talked about this in our Fever episode. It goes back to like the music videos. What's happening there is so different from what is happening in the actual lore. They don't even have the same groups, right?
That Mingi is literally
we're not the group.
they do have Sangwa and Yosang are the ones who are inside the academy, like interacting with the students. But I'm like, for what possible reason is this Mingi and not Son? Or why isn't it Mingi and Hongjoon? Like,
yeah.
So this is my thing. I was thinking about this earlier. I'm like, this is the beef that I told you I had a beef with the diaries. This is my beef, is I feel like there is not a lot of communication internally in KQ. Because it would have been so simple for them to just say, hey, when you write the diaries, these two characters should just be together. Because that'll kind of mirror what we did in the music video.
Or I've written the diaries. Please read it before you make the music video.
Right. I just feel like editing the diary would probably be easier than editing a whole music video or like redoing concepts and whatever. But also another thing that does kind of bother me about the World Diaries is that characters will disappear for... Like, Jongo and Hongjoon are just not in the part two diary. They're just not there. they don't do anything.
Well, that's also true of Jongho in the part two music video.
Yes, but we've already had that beef. Yes.
But I think in the world, so Sangwa really takes a back seat in Fever. In the world, Sangwa really takes a front seat.
Yeah. Sangwa and Yosang. Yosang is very prominent in, because he's sort of Sangwa's partner.
Right.
And he was also very prominent in the Fever Diaries. Yuno and Yosang are, in my opinion, the two main characters of the Fever Diaries.
I think that's right.
Mingi bringing up a close third because he has the most interesting arc that they didn't really do much with. But, you know, it does come back in the Golden Hour Diary, which I appreciate. Sangwa is very big in the world. Sangwa's, like, huge in the world. Like, he is Sangwa's obviously the main character in the World Diary.
But he took a real backseat in the first book, or in the first series, in Fever. So perhaps Jongho will take a big step in Golden Hour? Like, it hasn't been his turn yet?
Well, we're saving
it.
We're saving it.
We're on the same page, aren't we?
Yes.
Okay.
I was actually thinking about that because I read it yesterday and I read that his entry and I was like, now hold up now.
I know.
Okay. So here we go.
I do think we should save our discussion for the Golden Hour Diary for next week, and then we can talk about predictions. And maybe we'll have a comeback announcement by then. We'll see.
Predictions for what?
Like what could happen in the next diary. Yeah.
Okay. Like diary specific. Did we not do that in our bingo episode?
No, not diary specific. I mean, not like deep okay. into it.
So we'll just keep going with this lore series.
Yeah, we're gonna have a 3-part lore series.
All right. Okay. I'll have to save all
my... I didn't even link the Bible study. Oh, I haven't posted it yet. We're fine.
You haven't edited it yet. It's not even happened.
Back to this book.
Back to this book. Okay, so their plan is in place. We've got Woo-young and Mingi acting like security guards, mm-hmm. breaking in. They are tracking the brother. I'm going to call him the brother. I was complaining earlier that characters don't have names. Mm-hmm. So the boy is going to be the little boy who comes to mm-hmm. see them. The brother is going to be the brother who's 40, who is about to graduate and is mm-hmm. might not pass the exam.
Yes.
So Woo-young and Mingi are tracking the brother, and they are relaying this information to Sang-hwa and Yo-sung, who are also in the school posing as students. So the brother goes into his class. It has these details about him like being very precise as to where he's placing his like class materials, which mm-hmm. I thought was interesting. Then Yo-sung starts like talking to him and says like, come, go meet me in the empty bathroom, which is real sus, you know? Mm-hmm. And then the boy's like, who is this person? I've never seen this person. The brother, I'm sorry. The brother's mm-hmm. like, I've never seen this person before. What's going on? But then he mm-hmm. realizes, I also don't really pay attention to people. Mm-hmm. So what we're getting is that he basically is like awoken.
Yeah.
He's woke, if you will. And he's like unsure of how to navigate this world mm-hmm. now that he is aware of like what's going on. And mm-hmm. it does seem like he's still somewhat under the control, because Yo-sung gives him the device that mm-hmm. is going to break the chip. So it seems like he's like overcome the chip. So that is a thing that apparently can happen.
That is what happens in the movie that is not The Prestige that we literally just talked about.
Equilibrium.
No, the other one.
Elysium.
No. Oh, it is Equilibrium. Okay. That's what happens in Equilibrium. He starts to like overcome it a little on his own, mm-hmm. and then he has to like go the step further to really overcome it. I really like this idea that he doesn't know how to deal with the emotions that he has mm-hmm. because he's never been taught how to have emotions.
Because it is a thing you have to learn. Mm-hmm. Emotional intelligence is a thing you have to learn.
It reminds me of our episode where we were talking about teenage girls mm-hmm. and hags and how like girls are really taught how to mm-hmm. deal with their emotions as they grow up mm-hmm. so that they can, you know, navigate the world.
And then boys are taught that emotions are bad.
Right.
Because they're feminine.
Mm-mm. Right. Which is stupid. Because everyone has emotions. Literally everyone. Mm-hmm. If you don't believe that boys have big emotions, you should spend like 5 seconds talking to my 10-year-old son, because he has more emotions than anyone I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. Like, even more than me, right? Because he's younger, he doesn't know mm-hmm. how to deal with them. So he has the most emotions. He's so sensitive, and which I don't say like as a judgment, like he just is, like he can feel other people's emotions.
Being sensitive is not a bad thing,
right? People think it is.
People think it is, because people think that someone who is sensitive is someone who's like easily offended or gets upset right. easily, and that's not what it is. Being sensitive mm-hmm. is just, it's an all-encompassing. I was thinking about this because I am also very sensitive mm-hmm. in that my teacher friend that I talked to all the time, she talks about being an empath, like being very empathetic. Like you can walk into a room, I can walk into a room and I can feel the emotional temperature of the room. And if the emotional temperature of the room is off, then I can't deal with it, because I'm just too aware. You know, like if you walk into a room where two people have just been arguing, I can feel that those two people were just arguing and now they hate each other. Mm-hmm. And so like, but it's also like you're just, I don't know, you're just more aware of things that are happening. Not about events, because she was like, oh, do you like pay attention to things like, you know, what people are wearing, haircuts, eye color? I'm like, no, I have no idea.
Never notice it.
You can ask me right now what color my dad's eyes are. I have no clue. But I could tell you all about my dad's vibes. So, which I'm that way because I'm really, really, really bad at faces. Mm. Like, I'm not like K-drama facial blindness level, mm-hmm. but like, if you asked me to like picture what my mom looks like in my head right now, I can't do it. Like, I could not recreate my mom's face. I can get her vibe, and she's just kind of like a blur. And it's like that with, like, everybody.
I'm very good with faces. I'm very good with faces and names. Like, when I'm talking to Cassandra about joiners, like, I can use their first names, and I can sub out usernames, too. Mm-hmm. And, like, I can remember both, and if I've met them once, I know who they are, unless they've, like, drastically changed their hair or something, you know. Mm-hmm. But I am very, like, very good with that kind of stuff. And I am very good at the opposite thing. Like, if I walk into a room and the vibe is bad, I can get a vibe pretty good. Like, I can really hustle. Mm-hmm. It's super draining, but, like, I can hustle to get a good vibe. But I can't, like, you know, that's, like, my thing that I can do. But I'm not able to just, like, pick up people's vibes. Mm. Like, whether or not they're uncomfortable, but I can, like, make a room vibe okay.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Mm-hmm. It's, like, the opposite of you. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If we were walking into a room together, I think we'd do a really good job.
Yeah, I'd be like, okay, so here's the vibe right now, and here's what you need to do. And then you'd be like, okay, I got it.
We'll get this vibe right.
Yeah, we're vibe fixers. A real
team. That's a fun show. Anyways, back to this.
Anyways, no idea what's going on. Okay, so Yeosung is going to go meet the boy in the bathroom. They hook up with Sanghwa. At somewhere along the way, I think he meets them in the hallway. Mm-hmm. And he's like, no, everything is okay. Because the boy is like, he's very concerned about getting caught, right, doing something that's going to look suspicious. So he's not really sure if that's something that he wants to do, but he is very curious. And so he does eventually go to meet them in the bathroom. They are in the bathroom having a conversation, Yeosung and Sanghwa and the brother. And
they lock the door suspiciously.
They do lock the door suspiciously, which becomes a little plot point later. They explain that his younger brother, the boy, had come to their bunker to get help for him. Mm-hmm. He's kind of fighting, but they're sharing the good word with him. They're sharing the gospel with him about emotions. And he's kind of fighting back, like, why on earth would emotions be good? Emotions are so destructive.
Mm-hmm. I like this one quote. I want to read it. Mm-hmm. Chaos, pain, they're not necessarily bad things. You need to feel them to move forward. It's something all people go through. That's what growth is. Mm. What's clear is that this feeling of growth through pain is a new, precious experience for you. It's the same for all of us. So I really like that because it kind of touches on some of the other stuff that we've been talking about with, like, Golden Hour, like, that you have to have a crisis moment. Like, pain is how you move forward. If things are fine, then you never change. Mm. And it also ties to some of the other stuff we've talked about with, you can't treasure happiness if you don't know what pain feels like.
Right. That's one of the things, because I teach The Giver. It's our first novel every year. And that is one of the conversations that we have, that these people cannot know. Because one of the themes that they are tracking as they're reading the book is the value of pain. The value of pain and suffering. And one of the things that we talk about is that these people have no idea. Like, sure, they don't know, like, what real pain is, but they also don't know what joy is. And the only way you can understand what joy is if you've also gone through the pain in order to be able to understand the contrast between the two. Mm-hmm. And that you can't have one without the other. And I also read something, I was on Twitter yesterday. There's been a lot of chatter on my timeline about Andrew Garfield on Sesame Street.
Oh, yeah.
Talking about his losing his mom. Mm-hmm.
I was thinking about that too.
Somebody tweeted that mourning is just like, that's the beauty of love. Like, mourning is just an extension of the love that you have for a person. And you can't have the one without the other. Like, you're not going to mourn something that you don't love. And when you love something, you are eventually going to lose that thing. That's just the nature of life. Mm-hmm. And I think it's that idea that it's that precariousness that makes it very precious.
This is only marginally related, but it reminded me of some of the conversations around Liam Payne's death. Mm.
Did you know I had no idea that he died?
You didn't?
I didn't. I somehow that pop bass tweet didn't make it onto my timeline, and I just saw people talking about it after the fact, and I was like, what is going on? So I still don't actually know what happened. I have just, like, to this morning become aware that he had passed away.
I believe the theory is that he was on so many drugs that he fell off of his balcony. So it's very sad. There is some, like, you know, drama with him. I was not a One Directioner. The reason that I was reminded of this is more that, like, there are a lot of people who are really mourning his death, even though he was, by some accounts, a pretty bad person who manipulated his girlfriend and did some bad things. But I feel like what people are missing in that conversation is that they're not so much mourning the person as they are mourning the time in their life where that person was very important to them, right? Like, if I had been a big One Direction fan, even if I wasn't right now, like, I think that would still really, like, imagine all the joy that ATEEZ has brought us. And so, like, if something horrible happened many years down the road, like, of course I would be mourning all, like, I would be mourning for the person that I was.
Yeah.
And so it's just, of course these people are mourning because they had so much joy when they followed One Direction.
Well, it's kind of, something similar happened when Big Bang came back with their last comeback as a group. You know, I think it was not this, it was in the spring of 2022, I remember, because I was doing my song a day thing. People have a lot of mixed feelings about Big Bang. And Big Bang does have massive shadows over their group because of what went down with Seungri and Burning Sun. And that, I truly believe that that scandal has reverberated through the K-pop spheres. Like, to this day, I am getting off on tangents, and I'm so terrible about this, but I was watching a Korean vlogger who used to be a Big Bang fan, and she talked about how she dropped all boy groups after that because one of the one, because she's like, I can't follow people who are criminals. And she may have also been upset about T.O.P. with his drug overdose, and he got in trouble for, like, weed or something. There was also drama with Daesung because of the building that he owned. Turns out there were, there was, like, companies doing, like, illegal pornographic things in the building that he owned. People don't like G-Dragon for various reasons. Taeyong seems to be the one that has escaped a lot of ire. He just quietly got married and was a normal person, although he has been called out for cultural appropriation, as so many K-pop idols have been. But he seems to be mostly pretty chill and calm, and people don't have a lot of beef with him. But so when Big Bang were coming back with Still Life, this is after Seungri's in jail. It's it's OT4. A lot of people, and this is when we were still on Reddit, but a lot of people on Reddit were just so angry about Big Bang. And they were so angry about people who still supported Big Bang. They were so gleeful in their condemnation of Big Bang and VIPs, which is the Big Bang fandom. And I remember I also had mixed feelings, but when Still Life came out, and it was so clearly a farewell to that, like, to Big Bang as a group, like, it was so clearly like a, we're not doing this anymore, this is over. T.O.P. has been trying to go to space, and he's been selling wine and collecting art. He has not stepped foot in a studio. I think he has stepped foot in a studio, but he refuses to release music. I don't know why he won't do it. T.O.P., please.
He's also not listening to this podcast.
He's also not listening to this podcast. He does not care. But I remember I had a lot of mixed feelings, and I talked about this in the warehouse. I said, you know, it's not so much that I'm sad that Big Bang is not releasing music, because I don't follow them. I never followed them the same way that I follow ATEEZ. But what I am mourning right now is the person that I was when I did follow Big Bang. And I am mourning the people that I knew then. I'm mourning the new experiences that I had then. It's not about Big Bang. It's about me. And I am allowed to feel however I want to feel about this song coming out. And also, the song was really good, and I don't want to hear it. So,
Well, K-pop fans hate nothing more than a good song, so.
Truthfully.
I don't know what that was related to. Like, I don't know how I got us there, and then Darkness I don't know where we are in the diary, is what I'm saying.
Well, where we are in the diary is that as Sunghwa and Yosung are preaching the gospel to brother, Someone bangs on the door.
Mm-hmm. The locked door.
The locked door of the bathroom, saying you need to open it up immediately or we're going to report you. And it turns out it is Thunder. So we learn now that Thunder is the name of this like elite disciplinary squad within Prestige Academy.
Here is what I wanted to say. You had mentioned that they were like making a big deal out of like where he put his stuff on his desk.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, this Thunder girl makes a big deal of like, why did y'all lock the door? No one locks the door. And I just feel, so I think those two things are tied together. They also make a big deal of like where things are put on the desk in that movie Equilibrium, which I did remember this time. But you don't really realize how many things in your life are controlled by your emotions. Like, you often talk about how, like, if things aren't in the right spot on your desk, you feel like you can't get anything done. And it seems to me like they have really, like, set up these, like, everyone puts everything in the exact same spot.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you don't put it in that spot, people can realize that, oh, they're being guided by their emotions. They're doing something different.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of the same thing with, like, locking the door. Like, you lock the door because you have something you want to hide.
Mm.
But no one has anything they want to hide in this society. That's all I wanted to say.
Well, that is also her thinking, the leader of Thunder, because they come in the door. The brother goes and unlocks the door because, you know, he's used to just following the rules. Mm-hmm. So he's like, oh, I got to go unlock the door. That's Thunder.
Mm-hmm.
And the girl walks in and we haven't specified what girl it is, but a girl walks in and she says, what are you doing in here? You're not supposed to lock the door. What's happening? And Sangwa, like, goes full panic mode because he recognizes he's staring at this girl. Yeah. Yosong looks at Sangwa and he's seeing that Sangwa is like reacting to her. He's having a lot of feelings about what's going on. He looks over, he sees that the brother is like, his hands are shaking and he's looking down. He's clearly nervous. Mm-hmm. And Yosong's like, can these people please get it together? Like,
we are trying to pretend we don't have emotions.
So Yosong tries to like block the girl's view of Sangwa, but she clearly picks up on the fact that Sangwa is flat out staring at her. So she like walks over to him and she's like, why did you have the door shut? And Yosong, true hero of the situation, is like, oh, well, the door was broken and we couldn't figure out how to open it. It took us a minute to figure out how to get it open. And she's like looking over at Sangwa and she's looking at the brother and she, you can like gears turning in her head, like, okay, what's going on here? Sangwa like snaps. He grabs her arm and he's like, why are you here? And Yosong's like, okay, hold up, what's going on? Like, this is not in the script. What are you doing? But Yosong's like, okay, I gotta pull it together. I gotta get us out of here. And so he says, this is an inefficient use of our time. We need to go to class. Like, he's so smart. So smart in the diaries and also in real life. And I feel like he needs to get more credit for being so smart. So he takes the brother and leaves the bathroom. But Sangwa is like still shocked because this girl looks exactly like the dancing girl who was like the impetus for his entire journey. We learn here that the bracelet that says Be Free, he's been wearing it this entire time because he looks down and he touches the bracelet, which is interesting because you wouldn't think that jewelry would be a thing that people would be wearing in Strickland, especially something that says Be Free on it. Also, quick question for KQ. Why hasn't this been merch?
Yeah, it's crazy. This has been around for years.
I know. Like, we would all be buying this if we could also get a Be Free bracelet.
For sure. I pointed this out to Bobby, so I'm just going to point it out for the podcast. Prior to this diary coming out, I did predict that the Be Free girl was going to come back and have like a big moment. And so when this diary came out, I was texting all of my friends saying, I told you so. Not that any of them had ever fought with me. Not a single time.
It was a pretty triumphant moment for her, so.
They let me have that. So I called this. I predicted that she would be back.
So after Sangwa has his moment where he like freaks out, forgets everything, just is like, what is this girl doing here? I was looking for this girl for so long and now here she is in Strickland. What is going on? He snaps out of it and he's like, why are you making such a big deal out of people being in a bathroom? Like, and she's like, okay. So he looks at her and she seems to be like confused and he's like, wait a second, is she feeling things? Does she mm-hmm. have emotions? Which I think is just so interesting, that the contrast, the way that Beaver Girl in A Universe was so free, and her freedom mm-hmm. and freedom of expression in the dancing is what causes Sanghwa to realize that he's been so restricting himself mm-hmm. so much. And then Be Free Girl, who still doesn't have a name. KQ, give your characters names, please. Who Be Free Girl in Z Universe is like pretending that she doesn't have any emotions. I like that contrast. I think that's fun. The parallels there.
I've told you that my friend has named her the Bulnoria Girl. So mm-hmm. her name is Bulnoria to us.
mm-hmm. So they just have a little conversation about, and they basically just go their separate ways. She's like, you need to go to class. And he's like, yeah, that's what I was trying to do. And so they leave the bathroom. Sanghwa is thinking about this girl. He talks about how she is the reason why he ended up changing his life, and how he ended up with ATs, and how weird it is that she's here, and that she's the leader of she's the leader of Thunder. And he's like, wow, this, what a strange day. How weird is this? Basically. Meanwhile, while everybody's in class, our other ATs members are out setting up, getting up to some hijinks out in the courtyard. It says that they are placing smoke bombs in various mm-hmm. places that they had scattered out around the academy. So obviously they're getting ready for something. Yosang says that brother has disappeared. We don't know where he's gone. He's slipped away, possibly while Sanghwa was freaking out about Be Free Girl. It says that after class, he leaves quickly before Yosang can do anything. Sanghwa had hooked up with the boy, the younger brother, mm-hmm. and he was with him. So he's like, wait a second, what's going on? And so everybody's looking for him. Oh, San's here. And Hongju. Look at that. They're here. They're just here. They're not doing anything, but they are here. Wooyoung is looking everywhere. He climbs up, goes to the top floor. He notices a broken window with a little bit of blood on the glass, and sees mm-hmm. that the brother is outside, and he is basically standing on a ledge threatening to jump off.
Mm-hmm. He's saying that his life is ruined.
Right. He's because he's awoken to the emotions and he doesn't want them, and there appears to be no way to go back. Like, he would have to confess that he is feeling things to the government in order for them to like put him back the way that he was, and he was probably terrified of that. Mm-hmm. He is about to graduate, so like this is right before he's about to be free of the school, and he's freaking out.
It reminds me of the girl in The Giver who, upon experiencing painful emotions, asked to be set free. Like,
Rosemary.
The Giver's Rosemary, mm-hmm. his actual daughter. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's a spoiler. Sorry. Giver spoilers.
Listen, if you haven't read it at this point, I don't know what to tell you.
If you haven't read it at this point, you're not going to read it. So just accept my spoiler. Yes.
But he is saying, you know, Wooyoung is trying to talk him down. He's like, listen, we will help you. It's going to be okay. And he says, the brother says, I don't want to be different from everybody else. This is not what I want. He starts crying. And then he's like, wait a second. What is this? What is happening to me right now? I don't understand. He looks down and he sees his brother, the little boy. He sees him looking up at him. And they're both crying. And they're like the only people showing emotion. It says in this sea of like the same achromatic faces. I don't know how to process achromatic in this context. I'm assuming it means like everybody's just dull.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was like. All of them look the same mm-hmm. without expression is how I was interpreting it based on context and literally nothing else. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So Yuno shows up. He'd been running in a hurry to get up there. Mm-hmm. He says, are you sure that this, you know, is this really what you want? Brother's like, I don't know. I don't know what want is. This is not a thing that I've ever experienced before, so I don't know what's going on. And he's like, okay, well, what do you think your brother wants you to do? Do you think your brother wants you to jump off a building? And Wooyoung has this moment where he realizes that Yuno is obviously thinking of his own brother. Mm-hmm. And so the brother is like still thinking about it. Then the guardians run out and they're about to get the boy, the younger brother. Mm-hmm. And this snaps the older brother out of it. And he's like, no, I got to do something.
So the boy like slips. Yeah, he slips off of the frame. Sorry, not the boy. The brother slips off of the window frame. Mm-hmm. And he's going to fall. So Wooyoung uses the crowbar Cromer to basically catch him, which alerts the android guardians, or maybe just guardians, who knows. People, guardians, are there, and they are alerted to the fact that this quantum energy is being used. And so now it's on. Like, whatever plan they were going to do, it's going to start right now.
Mm-hmm. Yuno are able to save the brother from falling. Yes. That's why they used the Cromer. He was only 5 meters from the ground, so real close call. Mm-hmm. Then they disappear again, and they go, like, they flash in front of the boy. And so it says they felt a desperate sense of relief, love, and what life was. So it's like this moment wakes them up. Like, okay, this is what it's all about. You know, this moment of relief and joy at being reunited after that danger helps us realize that's why you need that contrast of the light and the dark so you can appreciate. Mm-hmm. Oh, Jong-o's here. How exciting. He's arrived. He's showed up.
So back to the diary and the music video, like, the pairing should have been Yoon-ho and Woo-young.
Yeah.
Hong-jung and Mingi should have set up the bombs. Like, they were dressed in those little cowboy outfits. Mm-hmm. They should have been setting up the smoke bombs. Woo-young should not have been there for that. Mm-hmm. Sang-ho and Yo-sang were together correctly. Mm-hmm. And then Yoon-ho and Woo-young should have been together. Mm-hmm. And then Jung-ho and who am I missing?
San.
Yes, Jung-ho and San, the two who don't do anything in this diary, should have been together. Choi brothers.
Can you imagine the been together doing rage nothing? If San had nothing to do in the bouncy music video? Can you imagine?
Well, they should have been together, at least in this diary book, I guess. I
know. Jong-o says, what a relief, or maybe not, Jong-o said as he approached the other members, because he would love him so much. Wish he would do things, but oh well. I love this. As the members looked at Jung-o, he shrugged, pointing behind him with his chin. He's just so cool. He's so cool, and I love him so much.
He is cool.
So guardians are running around. Sang-hwa, of course, he is watching he's watching Beefy Girl. He's watching Bonoria. And I love Mingi. He's like, well, I guess it's showtime. Let's go. What else exactly are we gonna do?
We might have planned more, but yes, we won't. Let's go. All right. It's happening.
So they go to their respective positions using the Cromer, so they are just teleporting all around. I'm confused about this, though, because are they going in like a group, and then every time they go as a group they drop a member off at his location? Because the Cromer, or does the Cromer, can one person using the Cromer send people to various locations all at once?
It has to be that, because Hong-jung does it in Fever 1. He uses the Cromer to move other people to where he is.
So we've talked about this in our Bible studies, but the Cromer must respond to intention.
Yes, because Hong-jung doesn't know how to use it when he uses it. Mm-mm. But he's thinking about his members, thinking about what he wants. Mm-hmm.
Because it is totally possible for members to use it and it doesn't affect everybody else. Mm-hmm. But then sometimes they use it and it does affect other people. Mm-hmm. There's even one part where the Cromer also teleports one of the brothers somewhere, because he like tags in when everybody else is leaving. He like jumps in with them. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, so I guess it responded to his intention too. So I don't know.
Well, maybe they'll really go into detail. Like, they'll have a whole 7 or 8 page spread about
in that lore book that's never gonna get shipped.
The Cromer works like this.
I hope so.
We'll see. I like this part where it says, with the sound of a loudspeaker, groovy music
starting with the sound of a rough low bass guitar. And I'm like, what song is that? Is that Gorilla? I would not classify Gorilla as groovy.
How dare you. It's the grooviest song I know.
It took me along with the music, a large black tent covers the building. So so I'm like, okay, let me just try to comprehend what's happening here. So they make a rave. They do like a rave, because then they have this giant disco ball that's flashing light everywhere. And inside the light, as it's flashing on the wall, it's actually like projecting images of people because they talk about how like the windows and the mirrors are gotten rid of. There are no windows. There are windows though, because the brother jumps out of one. But they talk about how like windows are bad. You're not supposed to look out onto nature or stuff. And then all the mirrors are gone. There are no mirrors. they've been covered up or they've been gotten rid of, because if you can look in a mirror, then you can like start to recognize yourself and your personal identity becomes a thing. So they like show everybody images of themselves or...
And then they throw these like breakers down like candy, just sprinkle like rain, like make it rain with breakers.
And the people they're reaching out for the breakers, like catching falling stars.
Yeah, that is how it's like, described.
So they are. It's this whole party inside this tent that comes from. I don't know where the tent comes from. I don't know how to. I don't know how to explain the tent. But there's there is a tent over the entire school, and they have this big party, and people listening to the music start to wake up. They start to realize what's going on. Guardians are freaking out. They're like, "What is happening? What are we supposed to do?" So they just start rounding people up. The sense offenders is what they're called. They're like, "They're just. We got to get everybody. We're going to use people as hostages. We got to get this contained because Z is going to be mad."
And then it does say, like, you know, this party is going, and then ATs does start their concert. So they have a little.
They do have a full concert in this party. The awakened people is what they're called. They're called sense offenders. I think in the third, not dry,
they say it in this one too.
Okay, they do.
I think.
So then the guardians are approaching. They're rounding everybody up. They're going after ATs for the Cromer. ATs stops performing and they are all, it says, the members slowly approach the guardians with their hands up like they're about to surrender. And then all the smoke bombs go off with all of the colored smoke and they are able to get away. But then Sanghwa hears a scream behind him. He turns around. He sees that the guardian has the boy. They are threatening. They want the boy's brother, which is interesting. I don't know why they specifically want the boy's brother, but they are they want the boy's brother. It's just chaos. And then everybody's trying to leave. Like, ATs is trying to leave. And Yosong turns around and sees that Sanghwa is just walking away into the smoke. He appears to be going to... Oh, there's San. San is here. He showed up. San was with Yosong, apparently. But Sanghwa, who'd been running toward the boy, stopped abruptly. Yosong and San were all working to get the remaining people out, looked at Sanghwa bewildered. He was staring at someone who had grabbed his arm. It was her, the female leader of Thunder. So beefy girl, Bonoria, has grabbed his arm and she pulls him into the smoke. San run in there, like they run in, they're trying to get Sanghwa, they're trying to get the girl, they're trying to get the boy, they're trying to get the guardian, and all of those people have disappeared and everybody's just gone. And so that's where we leave. Then we get an epilogue scene.
Which is bananas.
This is where we really get a switch. It's like, okay, so it's been like fun and games up to this point. We're having a good time. Z has called in the head guardian and he has called in the leader of the principal of Prestige Academy. He's mad about what has gone down.
As they predicted.
He's upset. He asks if there is a replacement principal and they're like, yes, we've found one. And he was like, I was going to send you off to be like reconditioned to like a sanatorium. And then he's like, but I want to keep this real hush hush. And so I am going to kill you right now. And then he kills him. He shoots him in the head. Or the head guardian shoots him right in the head.
Twice. Yeah. Wait, hold on. The Z-only guardians deployed to protect Z immediately, took out their guns, and shot the principal's head and heart. So they shot both. Shot him in the head and the heart.
Right. So he's dead.
Instantly.
And this is where we get a real switch. it's about to get really wild in here.
I think that scene is wise. I think it's good to include that scene of what Z does because it makes the stakes more real. Like, right. This is what's at stake for people in this world.
Boy, are the stakes high.
Yeah.
In part three, very first scene, guardians roll up in a car. They get out of the car. It says they set something up. They look at it with satisfaction. I guess as much as you can if you don't have emotions. They get in the car and roll away. And then it says that the people who are left behind start... It's interesting that it says rather than fall to silence the square... Oh, so hold on. Let me go back. Make sure I'm under the square frame of the display. Feet swayed in the air. Basically, they come and they hang a bunch of sense offenders, people who have been awakened, and they leave them in the square for people to look at. And they're like, this could be you. And then they get in their car and they drive away.
And then they've got the wanted posters of ATs members.
ATs' plan worked in that they did awaken a lot of people at once, so many that not everybody can be contained. So... We learn that there's a lot more like graffiti going up around the city and the Guardians mm-hmm. can't cover it all. They're trying to, but they can't get to all of it. So like the city seems to be a little bit more trashed than it used mm-hmm. to be, which kind of shows that things are breaking down. Mm-hmm. So that's our opening scene, is Guardians rolling up, hanging a bunch of people and then dipping.
We've talked about this kind of before, but there's this part where it says, "We must let the Black Pirates and ATs know we are here." So these are the people that have been awoken. Like, we're also mm-hmm. fighting. Mm-hmm. So we have, the city is fighting back.
Yeah. So this is right after Prestige Academy. Mm-hmm. They've gone back to their bunker. They're upset. Like, they were successful in their mission, but now they're upset mm-hmm. because Sangwa is missing. And they're like, what are we supposed to do? We've been through this before. Like, why does this keep happening? Mm-hmm. And they're all just talking about, like, what did he do? Where did he go? Why did he leave? And they're like, he went after that girl. Why did he go after that girl? And Yo Song just very casually is like, oh, look at Sangwa. And Sangwa just walks in. Like, y'all, I'm back.
It's interesting that Hongjoon doesn't seem to, like, trust him. Mm-hmm. He, like, very, you know, he's like, how could you? Why did you do this? Yeah, tell me you didn't do this.
Right. For a girl, Sangwa? And Song was like, no, y'all are misunderstanding me. And he tells them that he sees that the boy is there, or though he sees that, do they have the brother or do they have the boy?
They have the boy.
They have the brother. No, they've got the brother. Oh,
they have the brother.
It's the younger child that now he's been taken by the Guardians. Remember?
Okay, that's what I thought you were talking about.
Who it's has, hard who because nobody have. Has names.
Yes. So the Guardians have the boy.
Yeah.
And the brother is here with ATs.
Right. So it's been, we've switched.
Correct.
So okay. Now we have to go on a rescue mission to save the boy. And Sangwa says, I know how to save him. And he reveals mm-hmm. that the girl, the leader of Thunder, has given him a map that tells him. Because remember, what was their ultimate goal from the very beginning was they have to find Z. And she gives him a map that shows him, like, here's where all the stuff is. He reveals that Thunder is actually another resistance group, like ATs, mm-hmm. except they are working from the inside instead of from the outside.
And Thunder mm-hmm. is KQ.
Thunder is KQ, yeah. So he says that the girl had put GPS in the boy's pocket, and so that they can follow where he is going, and they're going to use this map to be able to track him to the disposal site, which is where they take people who are the sense offenders who cannot be rehabilitated, and they get rid of. Also where they take, like, disabled people, by the way. So mm-hmm. real strong Nazi vibes happening. Mm-hmm. So they're looking at the map on the table, an image that is very common in AT's music videos, a map yeah. spread out on, like, a table that they're all looking at.
This is also where we learn that Cien Salvar.
Yeah, Cien Salvar.
Cien Salvar.
I'm assuming that it's Latin.
I'll never be able to pronounce it. The point is that it exists in this world, and we kind of, like, noted that, like, it was the same thing. Mm-hmm. Like, it sounded the same.
Well, yeah, like, I think we had all assumed that Z and Henry Jo were somehow connected. Mm-hmm. Henry Jo, of course, famously being the Cien Salvar cult leader in A universe.
Yes.
And here we learn that Cien Salvar also exists.
And it is the cause of what's happened. Like, that religion kind of came to power. Mm-hmm. The people, they enacted that religion's belief. And then Z got elected. Mm-hmm. So Z was elected. This is one of those situations where the people just kind of slowly gave up their rights. Mm-hmm. Like, there wasn't, like, an army that came in. It was like the people were like, yes, that sounds good. We mm-hmm. do need things to be more efficient. Please take away our emotions.
They were convinced that there was danger.
Yeah.
That if they didn't do it, they were going to be overcome. They were mm-hmm. going to, everything was going to go terribly wrong. And it's like,
things would be chaotic, mm-hmm. uncontrollable, bad mm-hmm. things would happen, bad mm-hmm. things. People would continue to commit crimes, mm-hmm. bigger and bigger crimes.
Yes.
And so slowly, these people gave away their rights, and Z came to power, and this is the world that they're in now.
Yeah, they got what they wanted.
I mean, they spell it out. The party mm-hmm. grew in size, passed the Emotional Regulation Act, and as a result, Z effectively took control over this world. So he did mm-hmm. not come in and claim power. He
was given it.
Gained it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. which, you know, is very scary because it's like, that's what normally happens.
So they realize that the next thing that they need to do is they need to get on over to that disposal site so they can get the boy and rescue him. Mm-hmm. We get
a little background on why Thunder exists and mm-hmm. how they decided to, like, why they needed this. this. They mm-hmm. needed people who were elite who would betray Z, because Z is very protected. He's in mm-hmm. the center of the town. People can't get to him. It seems like most of the guardians that are actually guarding him are the android guardians.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, so you can't trust humans.
So. Right. And android guardians can't be awakened to their human emotions mm-hmm. because they're not ever going to have them. They're androids. Yeah. Back to our AI episode. Anyways. So they're going to this disposal site.
Right. So we realize at the top of chapter 3, mm-hmm. Z says, now that we've set the bait, the black pirates will go to the disposal site to save the child. Take care of the mistakes mm-hmm. like this are repeated at the disposal site, or you'll be the one replaced this time. So we mm-hmm. learn this is a trap. Mm-hmm. ATs split up into two different groups. You have one group that is staying back at the bunker. And then mm-hmm. you have one group that is going to the disposal site. We get mm-hmm. a little bit of background about the disposal site. Tons of android guardians specifically. So not like the regular guardians. These are android guardians. There's also all of these blue butterflies that mm-hmm. one of them is like a camera. The rest of them, we will discuss what they are later. But they are all drones mm-hmm. being controlled by Yosong.
And then we have the red humans, which is an interesting detail because they don't actually do anything.
They don't do anything. We don't see any images of them. It doesn't make any sense for these to have to be humans when they could have just as easily just been androids. But they do specify that they mm-hmm. are these little red humans that have been working the forges, working in the furnace. Mm-hmm. They are disfigured and ugly mm-hmm. and grotesque because of their work.
The burns.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they're working in this heat, so their skin is always red. That's why they're called the red humans. They're, mm-hmm. like, constantly red. And then they've got all these burns and stuff, I assume, is how they became disfigured. What it reminded me of when I was reading it is the Transformers lore.
Oh, boy.
So, Optimus Prime originally was not a Transformer. He, like, worked mining the, like, power that keeps the Transformers, you know, whatever. He was a miner. And so, like, the mining class was, like, the sub-class of people. Mm-hmm. So what I thought when I was reading this was about how they have these tests that put them into certain classes. Like, these are the people who couldn't even be sanitation workers. Mm-hmm. So they're the bottom of society. We'll just capture all these worker bees up and put them in these forges, and they can't leave and they have no life. Mm. So, which is what happens to Optimus Prime. The new Transformers movie, very good. Give it a strong recommendation. So the next chapter gets into this Yosong operating the drone. We've got mm-hmm. Sanghwa, Mingyi, San, and Wooyoung stayed behind mm-hmm. with the black pirate, or yes. yeah, at the bunker. Mm-hmm. And the rest of them go on.
Right.
This is much like Outlaw, Crazy Form is so dense. Every mm-hmm. sentence is a new action.
I would say this one's even worse than Outlaw. Like, Outlaw, I feel like you could still skim and be okay. This one, I get lost so easily. Like, I'm like, wait, what just happened?
There's no decoration to mm-hmm. this. It is, like, each sentence is a new thing that's happening. I like the bit at, like, section 5, though, where it mm-hmm. compares their time to the time in World A. It's, like, the second to last
paragraph. There it is. I was thinking about that earlier when you were mm-hmm. talking about Sanghwa and the Be Free Girl, but the mm-hmm. how ironic it is. By the way, this is an important detail that we have skipped, but that is that the four members in the bunker are under attack by guardians at the same time that the four members of the disposal site are under attack by guardians, because they have beam sabers. There is a black pirate, not like a random one, a red shirt, if you will, for the mm-hmm. Star Trek people. But random black pirate runs in and says, the bunker is surrounded, we're under attack, and gets like a beam saber comes from behind him and goes through his heart. Mm-hmm. And he falls down dead. So bunker is under attack. We hear from Jong-o on the radio that the guardians have apparently these new weapons that we haven't seen before, which are the beam sabers, I assume, and that they are under attack because I'm thinking that the reason why you've got two groups instead of everybody going to the disposal site is that group A, the bunker group, are holding on to the chromer to keep it mm-hmm. safe. because there are hundreds of guardians at the disposal site. Mm-hmm. Feels like a bad idea to take the Cromer there.
Mm-hmm.
But without the Cromer, the members who are at the disposal site are much weaker. And so Jango is calling. He's like, hey, we got to get that Cromer. Y'all get on over here.
Uh-huh. They didn't expect the people, the android guardians, to have weapons at the disposal site for some reason.
They also didn't know that they knew that they were coming.
Yeah. So it says in the book that the only guardians who have weapons are the ones that are in charge of Z's like personal security. So the rest of the time, the android guardians seem to be fighting, you know, controlling basically just
regular people,
right? And they're controlling like through the governmental power and you know, the authority that a teacher has, right? Like when a teacher's at a school and like, you better not do that again, most students know that that teacher can't do anything. Like there's no actual authority there, but because of like the control in the environment, the students will also pay attention. That is the vibe I get from like how these android guardians are controlling most of the time. They don't have weapons, they don't have guns, they're not like shooting people in the streets.
I mean, but... well, they wouldn't need to, because up to this point everybody's just been going along with what they're supposed to do because they're controlled by the chip.
Exactly.
But now ATs is causing problems and they're like, well, we got to step up our weapons game. So now everybody, now they're armed and they can't just like chase them down and grab them. Now they can murder them with these beams. Sabers, yeah.
So they think that the Thunder Girl has betrayed the bunker location. The song was like, no, no, she would never do that. Trust me, I know the Beefy Girl. She's
we've known
outside.
Each other for years.
But, you know, basically they've been betrayed on both sides, right? We've got the trap set up and then their android guardians are at the bunker. So things have gone really bad. However, we've got the guardians, and I don't even know if it's in the next section, but suddenly guardians start falling because of other guardians attacking them. So guardians are begin attacking each other.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah.
Where is that?
It's like Thunder was dressed up as the guardians is what it is. Let me find it.
Because I know that the Cromer boys show up. Songwa gets hit by a beam saber. So Songwa's down.
I didn't make this up. I just read it.
Mingi is also down. San and Wooyoung are also down. So Mingi, so disposal site team is down. They're beaten up. They're all bloody. It's real rough. Hongjun, Yuno, Yosang, and Jango, they are being led to the execution area. So everybody's down. Like, bunker team, down. Disposal site team being dragged away to execution.
Well, it says mass figures.
Yeah, it's the mass figures. These are the Thunder
people. I assumed they were wearing the Guardian mask. Yeah, I assumed they were dressed like the Guardians.
I think they're wearing they're in ridiculous masks. So they're wearing all, like, different. As they were all wearing the same ridiculous masks, making them impossible to identify, the members didn't know whether these people were friends or foes.
Well, see, that's why I thought they were dressed like the Guardians. Right. They were wearing the Guardian mask. So they couldn't distinguish whether they were friends or foes because the Guardians were turning on each other.
But you were right that it is Thunder has shown up to finally save the day. Yes. So members are in real bad shape. they're having a bad time. It looks like the sticks that the Thunder has, these sticks with electric shocks, which is fun because they're Thunder. So that's cool.
Yeah.
Love that for them. The members play dead. Because they're like, we don't want any part of this. We are not having a good time. And then Thunder gets them up. We realize Thunder did not betray them. It wasn't them. Head Guardian had told Hongjun, you need to call your other people over here to get them to bring the Cromer here within 10 minutes. And if you don't, I'm going to kill the boy. He's about to drop him into like the furnace. So I'm assuming, I am picturing like a Mount Doom situation where they have like this pit of lava, some sort of fire.
That's also what I'm picturing. I don't know that that's right.
I don't think it's right, but that is what I am picturing. So he's going to drop him down into the lava pit, the fire pit, the furnace is what they say. He's like, you want me to melt him feet first? Everybody get on your knees. So everybody pauses because they don't want the boy to die. The boy's brother shows up. He was the one who had, when the bunker four had teleported out of the bunker and he had thrown himself like in with the rest of them so that he would get teleported with them. He has brought a knife, which he gives to the members who are tied up. I didn't realize they were tied up, but now we know that they're tied up. I'm very confused. I'm very confused about what all is happening right now. and because I'm not spending a lot of time to read it.
Well, it's impossible if you don't spend a lot of time to read it. Right. You cannot skim it. That's the problem. Mm-hmm. There's a really nice bit in here that I do want to discuss, but I don't even know if we've made it to that part of the story. I think we should just skip ahead. Here's what happens. They mm-hmm. are about to fall. Everything's going poorly. Mm-hmm. The boy and the brother are having this moment. We realize that the boy was setting everyone up.
Yeah.
So the boy, he felt emotions, mm-hmm. and he was going to, like, try to find the Black Pirates. But then when he did, when he found them and got connected to the Black Link, he was like, oh, actually, this isn't what I want. Mm-hmm. And he tried to, like, create this sting operation to get to capture the Black Pirates, get their bunker information, and, you know, basically help the Android Guardians round up all the sense offenders. And so the brother feels very betrayed, and there's this very nice line that I want to talk about. Okay. Yes, everyone lives by making mistakes, depending on whether you choose to turn it around mm-hmm. at the next opportunity or cover up your mistakes with more wrong choices can mm-hmm. make all the difference in one's life, mm-hmm. which I really love. Yeah. I just think it's really nice. Mm-hmm. Do you keep making mistakes? I feel like we see that a lot when, like, people, they lie mm-hmm. and then they have to tell more lies to cover up the lie. Mm-hmm. And they get in this, like, ever evolving trap of lies that they've built for themselves.
Yeah.
Until finally,
the boy, the younger one, mm-hmm. I think it's so creepy backing up just a little bit. He says to the guardian, he's like, oh, am I done now with my role? Now mm-hmm. that you've got all of ATs here, can I be done? Mm-hmm. And the guardian's like, oh, you did a great job. It's his promise that you and your brother will not be prosecuted. You'll be able to go back to your original status for all of this. And the brother and ATs are like, what? And the boy says, I'm sorry. It was just so hard to find the Black Pirates bunker. So I came over here first and asked for help. It'd be nice if you didn't hide yourself so well. You wanted to make your group more accessible to the people, didn't you? And that's so slimy. Such a creepy, slimy thing for him to say. So the boy and the brother, they're talking, like you said, and the boy's like, I didn't want this. He's like, I wanted to live, and he doesn't believe that he's going to be able to survive if he doesn't, like, team up with the android side or the Z side. And the brother's like, these people saved me. How could you do this to them? He's like, but now I know about, he's like, I can't go back. I know mm-hmm. what emotion is. I know what life is. You have also experienced it too. So how could you want to go back to that? It's like you were saying, you can still make the right choice. So then the older brother is trying to, like, go to him and trying to, you know, convince him. He does that whole, like, he's trying to make sure that his younger brother makes the right choice. Mm-hmm. Yosong, again, Yosong really just coming in clutch all the time. he's going to trip the guardians. When the guardians fall, tripping over Yosong's rope that he had untied himself from, the brother runs over to the boy, but then the head guardian grabs the boy and he kicks the brother down, sending him falling below the execution platform. So I'm assuming this platform is, like, hovering over Mount Doom. It's very difficult to say.
And they've never given us any visuals of this. If you'll remember mm-hmm. Crazy Form, you know, Jung-ho is, like, in a bar.
There's zero lava in Crazy Form. So it's really difficult to figure out exactly what's going on. So apparently both brothers are now in peril. You've got the one mm-hmm. brother who's with the guardian, the other brother who's in danger of falling into the lava of Mount Doom. So Mingi's got the chromer, and Mingi has to make a choice between which brother he's going to save. Mm-hmm. He doesn't think he can save both of them. Back up.
Don't skip a single sentence.
Don't skip a single sentence. So Mingi, appearing in the air above the furnace and below the execution platform, had to make a lot of judgments in just that short moment. Could he save the boy and his brother? And if he could only save one, who? Just as Mingi reached out to the boy's brother, so he goes for the brother first. The brother falls into the lava mm-hmm. / furnace. It says the brother closes his eyes as if telling Mingi, go get the boy, go get my younger brother and save him. So brother dies. Older brother, the one that we went to go mm-hmm. save from Prestige, falls into the lava of Mount Doom and he dies. So then Mingy goes to get the boy. Mm-hmm. With a sorrowful heart, Mingy turned his head and snatched the boy falling from above. So I guess the guardian was dropping him into the lava as well, but Mingy saves him. The boy looks at his brother and he screams. Mingy puts boy down, goes to get the members who are fighting with the guardians. They're really upset about watching the brother die. They throw a bunch of guardians into the incinerator as well. The boy is he's not taking it well, and nor should he, because this is partly his fault. Mm-hmm. So now we just have the head guardian. Hong Jung has the chromer now. I guess Mingy threw it to him or whatever. The boy screams, die, at the head guardian. He is running at him. He grabs the head guardian and with his momentum jumps both of them mm-hmm. off of the platform. Hong Jun reaches for the boy. He tries to hold on to him, but he can't. He slips through his fingers. The boy and the head guardian both go down into the lava. It's not lava, but it is lava. And the boy mouths to Hong Jun quietly, I'm sorry. So both boys are now dead, but also the head mm-hmm. guardian is dead, and also all the other guardians are dead. Mm-hmm. Then things start exploding, and then we learn that all those little blue butterflies, that one of them was the camera, but all of the rest of them were bombs. Mm-hmm. And so now the disposal site is about to blow up, and we mm-hmm. got to get out of here or we're all mm-hmm. going to die. Mm-hmm. So San gets the chromer. Everybody chromers on out of there. Disposal site.
They go to the Thunder's base.
Yes.
Where they have a beautiful little... My understanding was that this is where... So the girl kind of started Thunder as a betrayal group. Like, I think Thunder mm-hmm. already existed, but she kind mm-hmm. of turned its purpose after meeting the Grime siblings. Mm-hmm. So the Grime siblings come back around. Mm-hmm. And they are using the Grime siblings' base, mm-hmm. like where the Grime siblings used to stay, as the new Thunder base. That was mm-hmm. how I interpreted it.
Yeah, this was where they met them originally. Mm-hmm. This is somewhere that's like kind of way out of the city, out of the... Mm-hmm. reach of the guardian, so this is kind of a safe spot. It is like they have this beautiful garden
that seems to be dedicated to the Grimes.
Yeah,
real heroes, which is nice because it did feel like the Grimes got a real short end of the stick there for a while.
They're just like, and they're gone now. Like, sure, they saved everybody and gave us the lay of the land, and we went and saved her voice, and then she immediately died afterward, but oh, well. So they go there at they're having like a memorial ceremony for the boys. It looks like they planted trees for each of the boys. It seems like they have trees planted for every mm-hmm. Thunder member or that has died in this battle. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's like this vast garden area with mm-hmm. all of these trees, which is a really, I think, very nice symbolism.
I think so.
It's and also very, very sad because mm-hmm. I had always hoped that the Grime siblings were just zombies and that we were mm-hmm. someday going to get a zombie comeback and then they were going to be saved. Like, they were going to get their emotions mm-hmm. back. But, like, KQ's like, nah, man, this is for real.
So then we learn more about, like, what Thunder's been up to, what their plan is, why mm-hmm. they were doing this, which is basically, I think we said earlier, to get close to Z. And, you know, this girl is set up to do it. The Be-Free girl, Bulnoria, mm-hmm. she's on her way. Mm-hmm. And so then ATs leave for the outro.
They are labeled as terrorists. Mm-hmm. They remodel the Prestige Academy building as a panopticon. Mm-hmm. Which I'm assuming this is sort of represented by that tower with the eye that we see in Silverlight. I guess that's what that's supposed to mean.
Yeah.
They go to a different school that's at the same level. The Be Free girl gets picked. I think she graduates and she gets picked to be put on like Z's personal guard kind of sort of thing.
This is all after. So mm-hmm. just real quick, this is all in the outro. At the mm-hmm. end, before the outro, the last thing we have is of ATs is at this memorial mm-hmm. with Thunder. The next time we see ATs, they're working their jobs in Golden Hour.
Yeah.
So this is the end of their story in Z. Mm-hmm. The rest, like the outro, is the story of what happens in Z after ATs leaves. Mm-hmm. So ATs leaves after this big battle where the Head Guardian dies, but that's not the end of Z's story. It's just the end of ATs' story in this world. Mm-hmm. So now ATs is back. in Golden Hour, Song was training up to become a fireman.
And on the calendar.
So yeah, then we have basically what happens afterwards, which was what Bobby was talking about. The mm-hmm. girl is picked. She has an interaction with Z. Mm-hmm. And we're left to really interpret whether or not she ultimately succeeds. Well, we know that she does get mm-hmm. into Z's office. They mm-hmm. have a conversation. She passes Z's test. Mm-hmm. But does she succeed in taking him down? That's not the story that ATs is telling. So it doesn't matter.
Here's what this is not what I think. This is what I think would be fun. Mm. Because I was talking about how, you circle, remember that pin? Remember that thing I told you to put a pin in? My insane theory? This is not really a theory. I guess that's not correct. But I just think it would be really fun to have, I know that SM does this, but SM is stupid and does things badly. And I would like to see it done well. But I do think it would be very fun, you know, if KQ ever debuts a girl group, for the girl group to pick up, to have like a super spy kind of, you know, aesthetic, maybe.
Yeah.
And this is their story. Like, we get to see the rest of that story play out. Mm-hmm. There are things that I do like about it and things that I don't like about it. I don't like that they would sort of not be, have their own unique lore. Mm-hmm. So it may be something where they, like, that's just the beginning of their story. And then their story, like, their story starts there and then goes elsewhere.
Right.
But I do think it would be very fun if the ATs universe and the Zekers universe and the KQ girlies universe. All like intertwined. As far as we know,
KQ does not have any female.
No, they do not.
Girl trainees.
So the girl groups don't seem to be their jam, I guess, which is fine. I do think, or they could do like an Alexa thing, and they have just one female soloist, and this is her. This is her thing. I don't think that they will do that, but I do think it would be fun if the lore would intertwine, and then every now and then we would get like a group out, like a. Both groups on the same album, or like a feature from a different ATs member, but it's also part of the lore of this other group. I just think that'd be super fun. And if I had a company, that is what I would do, is I would have a universe where the universe, I would have an MCU, the KQCU, I would have a KQCU, and I would have everybody like intertwining every now and then, but also everybody can kind of go off on their own thing and do their own thing. And it doesn't have to be dependent on the other groups.
Well, when our other friend Rachel makes her millions, doing something, she said she would buy KQ for us, and we can
do whatever we want.
But that's the end. That's the whole World Series, very dense. And the next time we pick up is in Golden Hour, and I think we should save our discussion for Golden Hour for our lore part 3.
So now I guess we're just back to waiting for the announcement that will never come, for the comeback that will never happen. I assume.
Maybe it'll happen by the time this episode is published, and we'll just sound like big whiny babies.
When do we not, though? We hope you enjoyed today's episode, and we'll be back with us next Friday and every Friday when we drop new episodes. If you enjoyed, please follow or subscribe to the podcast. You can connect with us at oldontini@gmail.com, follow us on Twitter @HolaChatPodcast, or read more from our blog at ontini.com. We'll see you soon. Be the light.